Blog Talk Radio. It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally, and I will see my dream come alive at last. I will touch the sky, and I'm not gonna hold me down no more.
Until you walk the path, you don't know where it goes. I'm Teresa Chase, and I've got an amazing guest and friend on today, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but including awareness and how to find happiness. Please welcome author, comedian, adventurer, and motivational speaker, Fran Cappo.
Hey, how are you?
Fabulous. We were talking off air about the coincidences of life and how they're, you know, and inspiration. I just looked at the computer screen and I just had, I realized something amazing happened.
What? I love it.
No, I added two pieces of music for the exit music. And yesterday when I added them, there were two separate pieces. One was Don't Stop, and the other one was Benatar's Invincible.
Okay.
Don't Stop was there. It's not anymore. The only music I have for Exit is Pat Benatar's Invincible, and I've got two copies of it.
Oh, wow. Well, then there's a sign. As we were talking,
music for me has always been an inspiration. It lights up the innovation, but it also empowers me, and that's one of my favorite pieces because it is so empowering.
What the song that you were just saying that was there?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Well, we should tell. Well, after as we get into the interview, we'll let the audience in on what was happening prior.
Yes. You have done amazing things. Yeah, you're an adventurer who has gone to the highest mountain peaks, but you've also gone down to the Titanic. And
yeah, you know this. Yeah, I love exploring the world. I mean, one of my things. My mom, I was so lucky. My mom rose past, but when she was alive, obviously she still talks to me now. But that's a whole other story. But one of the things she always taught me is that nothing's impossible. So whenever I get something in my mind, I'm like, why don't I do a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro? Okay, well, I did one at the top of the world. Why not at the depths of the sea? Why don't I do a book signing down by the Titanic? And it's just like something will always happen where I don't necessarily think of it like, oh, I'm going to do a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro, but something will lead me there. And because I live with the philosophy of just say yes and figure it out later, then other things kind of just come into place as I'm doing that, and then it just like keeps unfolding. You know how they say like when you drive a car at night, sometimes you're scared. You know, I'm not scared, but I mean like sometimes people will be scared because they're like, you know, like, oh, I don't know where the road is. But if you only see maybe 100 feet in front of you, 200, but you trust that there's a road that you're on and that you're not going to fall off the edge of a cliff, even though you don't see the rest of the road. And so sometimes I just think of things like that. Okay, well, I want to do this. I don't necessarily need to know every single detail of how I'm going to do it. I just need to know I'm going to do it, and then it all falls into place.
I need you to teach me that, because I used to have that, and then somewhere along the way I lost that, and I overthink things, and I need to know every single detail how it's going to turn out, and that really blocks things coming into my life.
Because you're so busy, you figuring out that you're not allowing other sources, universe or whatever, everybody calls it different, to
right.
say, no, this is a better way. And you're like, oh, no, damn it, I'm doing it this way. And you know what? Sometimes people are like that. With me, it's just like this morning, for example, I had it in my book that one of the adventures, because, you know, as we mentioned, I do adventures, and one of my books is called Adrenaline Adventures. Read it, do it, you know, dream it, read it, do it. And my thing is, like, I write down things like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then I figure, well, when, you know, the time comes, I'll figure out when I want to do that. And I wrote up this thing with a friend. Oh, I'm going to go caving with my son this weekend in Howe Caverns. We're actually going to the part of the cave that hasn't been opened in 100 years. And then I said, you know, but there's this really cool cave in Kentucky called Mega Cavern where you can go zip lining inside the cave. And she goes, oh, I wanted to go to Kentucky to this place called Mammoth Cave, and which is two different caves. And I was like, oh, we should plan it. So yesterday we stayed on the phone and was like, no, can't do that day, can't do this day, can't do that day. And then I just said, you know what, I'm just going to move something around because I really want to do this, and I'll just figure it out. And so this morning I said, look, why don't we just do it on this day? And she goes, okay. And then in like a few minutes, I just booked the entire trip. And so it's just like once you say yes, then it just kind of falls into place of how you're going to do it.
As you were writing that, I wrote definitively in capital letters, I am producing Never Can Say Goodbye and Horses and Heroes in 2015 and accepting that it's done and let the universe work out the details.
I love it. Oh, my gosh, that gave me chills because I am so happy that you now wrote that, because now you've set it out. You set it in motion in your head and in your soul. Now it's just a matter of, and when, listen, this is what I think that a lot of times people don't understand. When you say that you leave it to the universe, it doesn't mean that you sit back and you do nothing. It means that you've decided you're going to do it. And as you decide the steps along the way, if, you know, something comes about, you can go, oh, that's a better idea. I could do it that way. And that you're open to all things. It doesn't mean that you're sitting back and just saying, all right, God, hey, you take it from here. You're saying, you guide me and I'll follow.
Yeah. There's a cute little story where this person is praying to win the lottery because they're gonna do all those wonderful things with it. And they keep praying. Every night they pray to it and pray. And they're fervent and, you know, they make all these promises. And then God appears, he goes, dude, help me out. Buy a ticket.
Right. Yeah. That's the same one, like with the, you know, rescue me, rescue me, because a big flood comes along and the guy's sitting on the top of his roof and he's going, God, rescue me. And a boat comes along and the guy's like, hey, you need any help? And the guy goes, no, I'm okay. God's going to rescue me. And then, you know, the second boat comes along and the third boat, and why did you forsake me? How come you didn't rescue me? He goes, I sent three boats. What more do you want? You know, it's the same thing. It's like you don't see it sometimes because you so sit in your head, it's got to happen this way, that you don't see, hey, I'm sending you a sign, trust me, this one will work better, you know. but it's, since we're speaking of signs, I guess maybe we should start by talking about maybe my latest book.
Yes, I want to tell the story of Hopeville, because it touched me and actually kicked me in the drawers myself. And I have started my parable because of you. So
I love it. And that's what we were talking about off air. So here's the thing. I've written 18 books. you know, on all different topics. Almost the Wise Guy is based on the life of my dad. You know, it happened in New York, happened in New Jersey, all true history books. And I was in the middle of writing one of my books called Adrenaline Adventures that I just spoke about before, Dream It, Read It, Do It. And it's 50 different adventures that you could do in a day or a weekend. And it tells the story of how I did the adventure and then what is required for each adventure. So I was basically trying to I was in the middle of writing that book and trying to finish it. So, you know, when you're on deadline with a publisher, I mean, you got to get things done on time. And all of a sudden, one night, it's 4:00 in the morning, I hear this voice say, "Fran, get up. You have to write a book." So I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is like a weird dream telling me to get up. So I'm not listening. And then the voice is like being very persistent. "You have to get up. You have to get up. You have to write a book." So here I am. I turn on the light. I don't see anybody. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. This must have been a weird dream. Turn off the light. I hear the voice again. "Get up. You have to write this book." So I start arguing with the voice. I go, "Look, it's 4:00 in the morning. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. All I know is I'm in the middle of writing another book called Adrenaline Adventures. I don't know anything about another book that you're talking about." I said, "I'm on deadline." And this voice, and I can't tell you whether it was a male or female voice, but it was definitely as if somebody was talking to me and saying, "No, we have the name," and they kept saying, we have the name of the book. And, you know, and this book will change the world. It has a message for the world. And I'm like, I don't know anything about this book. And the voice is being very persistent. "Write it down." So I turn the light on again. I write down the title, Hopeville, The City of Light. And I said, "Look, it's 4:00 in the morning. I'm sorry. Well, I don't even know whether this is a dream or not, but, you know, I'll write it in the morning." Next morning comes, I take my son to school, my mom to work, and I have to get my car fixed. So I had 3 hours because, you know, the car's getting fixed. I didn't have a way to get back to the car shop. So I say to the guy, "Listen, can I take my computer and set it up in the back of the room? I'm just going to do some writing." So I had my book, Adrenaline Adventures, that I was going to write. And I've never in, you know, 10 years of writing, which at that time it was 10 years of writing, have had writer's block. So I had my computer all open, ready to write the next chapter on, you know, shark diving. And I go to type, and physically I cannot type the words. And I'm sitting there going, this is so weird. It was like my fingers were frozen. I'm like, well, I'm not going to sit here for 3 hours and not do anything. So I'm trying to type. I'm like, what is the matter? So then finally I go, all right, you know what? At least let me type the title of whatever I dreamt about so I don't forget it. So I type in the words, Hopeville, the City of Light. For the next 3 hours, I could tell you I did not know what I was typing. All I know is I wrote the words, the end, and as soon as I wrote the words, the end, literally, the guy goes, "Fran, your car's ready." He goes, "But I got to say, that was very weird." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "You didn't move. You didn't look like you were breathing. You didn't go to the bathroom. You didn't blink. You didn't drink." He goes, "It was just like you were a zombie. You were just..." I said, "I actually think I wrote a book." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "I honestly cannot tell you one word I wrote on that page." So then I didn't look at it because I was in the middle of writing Adrenaline Adventures. And then 2 weeks later, I said, you know what? I should probably read this thing because it probably doesn't make sense, but at least see what I wrote. So I look at it, and it's a story about a little boy who gets bullied, a widowed mother, a successful businessman who's given up the, you know, to have a family because he wanted to be successful, and an old man who feels nobody listens to him. And they're all discouraged, and on the same night, they pray that they could get some guidance because they're not happy with their lives. And an angel of light comes and tells them each a small little thing that they could do to change their life and the world. And at first they're not sure that they can do it, but then they do it and it transforms the whole town. There are obstacles in the way, they wind up overcoming them. But the thing is, it's a story about hope, love, life, and fulfilling your dreams. And it's got a message for, I feel, everyone. And it's a book that kind of, and it's weird, but I mean, you could say this because you just read it, but it's a book that touches the soul in a different way. I can't explain it.
It was very empowering for me because it took and shined a light on my fears, but it also uplifted my hopes. And, a couple of points I did tear up, but it touched me in a way that meant something to me. And it told, basically the message is fear drains life. Fear is the basis of all pain and all negative emotions. But when you turn around and face that fear, you shrink it because the power that you were feeding it, you feed to yourself.
Wow, I've never heard anybody interpret it that way. I really like that.
And every time they face their fear and chose...
The characters in the book we're talking about, right? Yeah.
Every time the characters face their fear and chose the path of love and forgiveness, they won, and they won huge. And it was a cascading effect because, you talk about the little boy at the beginning being bullied, and it was tied up at the end so that it actually completed the circle or the energy circuit. And it changed everything for everybody. And you don't have to be a mob. You don't have to be a huge crowd. You just have to take your own power back. And that's what starts the energy surge and the light being brought back. And that's what you did. Fran? Hello? Uh-oh. It seems we've had a technical difficulty. Okay. I'm going to be invincible right now and...
I am so happy that it created that for you.
I had muted myself, so we just need to say that all over again. You started something in motion that was very important to me, and I want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome, and I thank you because I am so happy, one, that you told me, but two, that the book had that effect on you, and that it, see, and then this is it. It's creating a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I just realized that. Exactly what happened in the book by them doing something created a ripple effect, and now by you reading the book, it's creating the same ripple effect and mirroring what happened in the book in real life.
Exactly. And I think your power going out was me speaking it to the universe, but also by me saying it again, sent out another ripple.
I love it.
What we say means something. And it's the motivating power behind where our life is going.
See, this is the thing. I feel like, unfortunately, in today's day and age, people are so focused on the negative. Mm-hmm. If they took that same energy and focused it on the positive and utilized that same energy to find solutions and to send love out, then we wouldn't have the problems that we have. And the book coming to me, I mean, I feel very lucky that the book did come to me that way. And I have to say, people are saying that they're comparing it to The Alchemist meets Think and Grow Rich. And it was interesting because there was a story that happened. You know the guy that wrote, Conversations with God, right? And his book was made into a movie. And a friend of mine said, oh, let's go see the movie. And in my head, I'm thinking, I really want to talk to the publisher. I have a question I want to ask him. And so the guy was at the end of his tour. His end of his tour ended in New York City. And my friend wanted to go to get her books autographed. So we go there. We watch the movie. The author stands up and goes, well, this is the end of my tour. And I just want to say tonight's a really special night because my publisher is here. And I'm like, yes. So everybody at the end ran to get the books autographed by him. And I went over to the publisher and I said, I have to ask you a question. When he came to you with the manuscript, how much of it did you edit? Because I didn't know if I should ever, I felt I shouldn't. And he just turned to me and goes, how do you edit God? And then I knew at that moment I couldn't touch a word of my book. So what I did was at the end of the book, I did this thing called the 44, principles of happiness, or that I feel people learn from the book, so that, you know, they have a quick reference point. And what's been happening is corporations have been using it kind of like Who Moved My Cheese as a way to teach people, you know, principles of.
Hello? I will be right back again because I am going to go get Fran. Be right back. Talking to the publisher about not editing God.
Right, that's what he said. He goes, how do you edit God? And so then that gave me the answer. So I didn't want to touch the manuscript, but what I did was at the end of the book, as you see, there's daily things that you could do to be happy. And then I have what I call the 44 principles of Hopeville, which is all principles based on, you know, how to live a happy, healthy life that were learned through the parable and the story. Now, the interesting thing is, I never thought of like, wow, this would be a book for corporations. But like that book, Who Moved My Cheese, I find a lot of corporations are ordering it and asking and giving it to the employees for things to institute in the policies because it's just simple, you know, messages that are, you know, that are given in the book that can be applied, though, in a way that helps people live a happier and healthier and fuller life.
And on that note, there are three that come out of the bullying episode with the little boy. Could we focus on those for some reason?
Okay, tell me which ones.
Okay. The little boy, don't run from bullies. If you stay calm, you can see the punches in life coming and dodge them. Anger blinds. Bullies are usually scared inside or filled with anger. Love conquers all.
Love conquers all.
Don't take advantage of people when they're down. Forgive your friends if they are sincere. And those,
yep.
For some reason, just tell the Cliff Note versions of the bullying story when the little boy decides to confront, you know, to stand up to the bully.
And when his friends are so scared, I mean, without revealing the whole thing, his friends are so scared they don't stand by his side because they're much smaller than the bully. And the little boy decides, you know, his friends felt guilty for abandoning him. And I don't want to give away the whole story, but there becomes a whole thing where there could be a lawsuit. And the little boy has more common sense than everybody that's around him. And it creates a whole new relationship. And it's interesting that you picked the bullying points, because last year I went to South Korea to do, you know, I'm a stand-up comic also, besides, you know, holding the 6 world records. And last year I went to South Korea with 3 other comics, and we did this national mom tour, and we were all the way from the DMZ zone to the bottom. And we were told we weren't allowed to sell books or give anything out. But because they were our soldiers, I told them that I wanted to give any soldier who wanted, and proved they were a soldier, a free copy of the e-book. And so a lot of people, and we announced it on the radio, but what I had done was I made up these bookmarks, and on the bookmarks, one of the, purposely, because I knew I was handing it to soldiers, I wrote, "Don't run from bullies, and we all have guardian angels, they come in many forms. Don't be stuck in fear, and there's an answer to every challenge," because I wanted a soldier to be able to have something in his hand that he could hold. That sometimes when you just say a sentence or a mantra, it sticks with you, and if you repeat it, that thing can guide you through a very scary moment in your life. And I wanted to be able to have those bullet points both in the book and on the bookmark, so that anybody could, you know, who's going through something could just read it real quick and go, "Oh, yes, right, I'm going to repeat this. This helps me through it." And that was my point in bringing the 44 messages out.
What I would recommend doing is, I've got the 4 agreements on my refrigerator.
Oh, yes, I just read that the other day. That's so funny, yes.
And so, you know, when I, you know, I see that every time I go in and out of the refrigerator. But it would be easy for you to, you know, type up the 44. And, you know, whichever one catches your attention is the one you're supposed to focus on. But put it
for that day, yeah,
where you can see it to remind yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to our last couple of minutes, so you need to do your shameless self-promotion.
Okay, so obviously we were talking about the book Hope Fill. The book Hope Fill is available for anybody who wants to buy it in ebook form on any platform, which is, you know, Kindle, Nook, iTunes, and they could go on Amazon, you know, and order it through there. And the hard book form, it's actually a soft cover book form, is available. And obviously, if people order through my website, which is Fran, F-R-A-N, Capo, C-A-P-O, FranCapo.com, they could order the book, and I will happily autograph it to them. And I've kept the book, the price of the book purposely very low so that anybody could afford it. And not to say this, but when you're looking for a gift sometimes to give somebody, it doesn't have to be something that costs a lot of money. But if it's something that could help somebody at a place that they are in life or help them change their lives, then I think that that's a cool thing to give. And I have had people tell me that, you know, they've had husbands die and, you know, husbands, more than one husband, a husband die, and that the book is the only thing that gave them, you know, comfort. So people really have been affected by the book. And if you're at a place in life, and even if you're at a place that you're happy, but you just want to keep it consistent, it's a book that's really good for you. And of course, if you want laughter, any of that, I do lectures all around the world, actually, called Laughter and Light, in which I talk about the 44 principles, and I've done it for everything from little school kids to you know, big corporations. I just did it for MillerCoors. I have another corporation coming up that I'm doing it for, and people often don't think, like, she's doing that kind of talk for the corporation, but believe me, people all need to be uplifted and have a way of always reaching for their dreams, goals, and happiness.
and things do happen for a reason. And if you're hearing this, there is a reason, and I think the book is amazing. It's an easy read, but it's a very important read because it touches your heart and your soul. So I highly recommend the book.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Fran, thank you. And we're going to have to do this again because you will be having more books coming out, at least 3 more of them. And so now Ben Tarrant's going to get another shot at it, and this time she's going to go all the way through. And once it's finished playing, I will call you back off air, and we'll chat.
Okay, great.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.